Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue talking about ministry, different aspects of ministry. And I want to just remind you, if you have any specific questions that you would like to have addressed on air, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org, and we'll go ahead and do that on air. As always, if you have a private question, you know, drop me a line the same place and let me know that you just want this, your question addressed between the two of us. That's fine. I try to address general questions and general topics on air publicly, but I also realize there are some questions that come up that you would rather just address privately for whatever reason, and that's perfectly fine. I'm happy to do that. Now, you may have questions that are theological in nature. In other words, just you're curious. Or it may address a specific situation you're in. I just want to encourage you, either way, we're not out to be judgmental or come up against the way anybody else is doing things in a ministry or teaching, how you approach ministry or anything. We are simply putting this information out there. It is your responsibility to take it to the Lord. And in a lot of ways, that's really the distinction that we're looking to maintain, that we reserve the right to change our minds. We reserve the right to learn and grow. And we're joining you in this process. We're all in process. We have not arrived. We don't have all the answers. Everything that we talk about here is subject to enlightenment. Hopefully, where we're at a year from now is not where we are now, and certainly 5 years from now. There are certainly things that I would want to have, just personally, a much better grasp of how things work in the supernatural realm. Why does God approach certain things the way he does? And when we look at God's nature, he is creative because he's always giving. He's always looking for opportunity to express himself in a new way. And he made us, he made you as creative vessel for you to contain new things. What does that tell you? Is he wants to share new things with you. You are a new wineskin for new wine. There's things he wants to share with us. Now, with that comes all the, you know, how to test what you hear and what do you do with what you've heard and why doesn't he share it with everybody and why does he make it hard? And just addressing that last one, that comes up a lot, is how come God just doesn't tell us what we need to know? And part of that is that we don't value what comes easy for us. We don't value what costs us nothing, what we don't work for. And the last thing God wants is to not be valued. When we look back at the very beginning of our account of man's relationship with God, with Adam and Eve, they didn't have to do a thing to maintain relationship with God, which is why it was so easy to destroy it. Ever since then, mankind has been having to work to develop and maintain a relationship with God. Terms of relationship that have changed, whether it's according to the law or now according to grace and relationship, that we now have a relationship with God because we are sons, but we have to work to overcome our old way of doing things. So he has left us here so we can work in order to value relationship. In a sense, it's not that hard. You can think, okay, if God just gave us everything we could ever ask for, every question answered, every power fully realized, if he could make us like him, spirit, soul, and body, as soon as we became Christians, we would not go through a process of learning and having to learn to trust and search out those treasures. And then we would take for granted. We would somehow deserve them as an inheritance without learning to appreciate them in the process. Now, spiritually, you do deserve them and have inherited them. Everything you need for life and godliness is already yours. But it's that process of becoming one, spirit, soul, and body, specifically bringing your soul into subjection to your spirit, it is that very process that is so hard and challenging for every single one of us. It is that very process that teaches us to be grateful to God. So that is an attitude, that attitude of gratitude will always be a hallmark of someone who has had to work, working out our salvation to know God. And that's one of those weird conundrums. In our spirit, we have already received salvation, knowing him. But in our soul, we are still working it out, making it real, making it have its fruitful finality in our soul, and then finally our body. Back to ministry. It's great that we're all catching on to the kinds of ministry that there are. That because we have been re-spirited, we are now givers. And we can call that giving ministry. We share with others unconditionally what we have received unconditionally. That is for all of us. Then in some situations, God has set aside for as projects for some to be vocational ministers, that they would make a living serving the people of God and doing God's bidding. The more we get into our particular approach here at the Rainers Club, the more you will see that it is very time intensive. And it is my time, your time, is one of the most valuable assets we have, how we spend our time. And for those of you, of us, who want to have a godly ministry, vocational ministry, who want to be true ministers of God according to eternal life, sharing with others what God has shared with us, first you have to learn how to receive from God on His terms. And that takes a lot of time. Then you have to learn how to give it to others. And that takes a lot of time. And I'm not just talking about years, like it takes you from age 20 to 45. I'm talking hours per day. Because one of the things we find is where we put our treasure, that's where our heart is. What you spend your time on is where your value is. And we'll talk about this later, but God wants to train us Himself. Going back to our wonderful example of Jesus, His Father trained Him. His Father taught Him and prepared Him and encouraged Him. And He reserves the right to do the same for you and I. But that takes time. Having said that, God knows how much time you have. We all have constraints on our time. And God knows that. In fact, He created the very circumstance you're in. So whether you are, let's say, retired and have all the time in the world, and you are able to spend 20 hours out of every day sitting with the Lord and allowing Him to reveal Himself and change you, and just being content to be with Him 20 hours a day. Those are the circumstances God has created for you. On the other hand, let's say you're a young mother with young little children, that you're lucky if you get 4 hours of sleep a day. He knows how much time He has because these are the circumstances He set up for you. For every minute you give Him to be with Him, He can expand it. In fact, for those of us who have a smaller amount of time, it's more valuable to us, so that when we give it to Him, it's a much greater gift. It's a much greater opportunity for Him to work in us. Sort of like the widow's mite. It doesn't take much for a rich man to lavish his wealth on the church. If you've got nothing but time on your hands, it really doesn't cost you anything to spend it all on God. But the less time you have, when you give what you can, and even sacrificially, that's of even greater honor to God. He appreciates that more, because there's sacrifice tied in with that. You give Him first place in your life. There is a recompense to that. That doesn't mean you leave anybody out. Your family, your boss, your own needs. But when you put Him first and you ask Him, Lord, am I spending time the way You want me to? Or even, Lord, I want to spend more time with You. Where can I make changes? You can never spend too much time with God. Our relationship with Him is based on being with Him. Now, what that means and what grows out of that, we've spent a whole other series, so I don't want to go too far into that. But that is the basis of our lives, being with God, hearing his voice, learning how to discern his voice and test it, sensing his presence, having our senses heightened and challenged, being able to see supernaturally, hear supernaturally, learning to live as a spirit being. All these things are accomplished through spending time with him. It's not through knowledge. It's not through having the right teaching or having someone lay their hands on you. It's being with him. How simple, and yet how challenging. So that brings us back to waiting for our ministry. Recognizing that ministry is an expression of who we are, that we are givers, takes the pressure off of having to know exactly what we are supposed to be doing. There will be times in our lives that we will be between projects, and times when we will have more on our plate than we can handle. Either way, as we wait on the Lord, depending on him to meet all of our needs, including the need for recognition, we can enjoy that rest regardless of the projects we've been assigned. Now, it's great to identify what projects or ministries we're involved in, like right now, but don't confuse those projects, those ministries, with your true identity. Your ministry is something you do. Giving is something you do, not something you are. You are a giver. Givers give. The giving part is something you do. You are a giver. And as you go through your life, you will see the difference. That you can, there's going to be times when as a giver, you're going to want to give. And God's going to say no. And you're not going to, it's going to be important that you not take that personal. And that you also don't use it against people. You don't withhold for personal reasons. So think on that as well. Be patient with the Lord as he teaches you these things. Be patient with yourself and with others, and accept whatever results the Lord has planned for every project. Even if it means passing up on a project so that it goes to the next person the Lord brings along. This is going to get challenging. As if you desire a vocational ministry, which is fine. I mean, if that's what God has placed on your heart and he keeps on encouraging you in that direction, that's terrific. Any project is terrific. Our desires, if we have given up our own intent, our own desires, to the extent we can, he will lead and guide and direct every single circumstance to take us from point A to point B to point Q to T back to A again. Because it's not what we're doing. It's not how you're giving that matters. It's, are you living a dependent spiritual life? Now, he may at some point in time challenge you, are you living a giving life? And that would be one way. Let the Lord be the one to challenge you in those areas. You don't have to be so circumspect yourself, but if God brings it up, pay attention. This is one of the reasons we need to be sure we know how to test what we hear, because we don't want to be we don't want to be condemning of ourselves, and we don't want to be vulnerable to others condemning us either. In other words, you know, you're not doing anything for God. That's between you and Him. So don't be judging how well you're doing based on what you're doing. You go to the Lord, ask Him, are you missing anything? Is there an area where He wants to talk to you about? It's all about relationship. And you're off the hook. If you have gone to Him and asked Him, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. Just I'm not getting anything from you. I feel like I'm, you know, not hearing you. So I'm just not going to do anything other than, but you know, what we've already talked about. I've got these circumstances in my life to deal with, and I'm just going to focus with them. Guess what? Then it's His responsibility. If you're heading in the wrong direction, it's then His responsibility to turn you, to get you going, to slow you down, to change direction. You put the tennis ball back on His side of the court, and what He wants to do with it is up to Him. So we come back to ministry, a vocational ministry, waiting for ministry. Let's be objective about it. How do you prepare for a true ministry, for a giving ministry? If the Lord sends you, He is responsible for your training and preparation. Sometimes He doesn't know that's what He's training and preparing us for. That's why all we have to do is be and pay attention to what He's doing now. Be with Him. Hear Him. Be faithful. And you know what? He's going to have you ready for whatever He has planned tomorrow. You don't need to know. This is part of our problem is we get so caught up in knowing what our purpose and plan is. You know, knowing what God's will is so we can be ready. Well, guess what? If being in God's will, whatever that means, next week depends on you knowing about it today, you won't be ready. Only God can make you ready. Now, He may choose to use the opportunities presented by traditional ministries and schools and organized religions. But if you're not taught by Him and trained and prepared by Him, you're not taught. You're not trained. You're not prepared. In fact, you may have learned things that disqualify you in that current state from being ready for God's training. There's a lot of times God has to undo so much of what we have learned because it's man's way of doing things. It suits our temperament. We've learned the wrong things. So we start by putting aside our own desires. Part of the process of the Lord bringing you into greater dependence on Himself is a greater experience of His giving nature. You have to have had experienced His giving in order to be able to share and be a giver with others. Then, because you are a giving spirit being, your desire to be involved in some kind of ministry will likely be quickened. Over time, as you try to clarify what God is saying for you regarding this kind of ministry, you can take time and recognize and embrace what your own desires are. Admit to and embrace what you want, what your desires are. We can't give to God something that isn't ours. then relinquish it to the Lord to do with as he pleases. So say you think you might want to go into a vocational ministry. Take the time to go back through what we've been talking about the past few weeks about typical motivations and just talk to God about that. And you may find yourself really being able to sympathize with or identify with several that we talked about. Say you really identify, well, it's always been in the family, or this is a way I really enjoy helping people, or this is a way I know if I'm ministering I can keep close to God. Say you really identify with those, and that is a real motivation for you to go into the ministry. You know, that's perfectly fine. Great. Those are all appropriate motivations, solical motivations, but that's fine. You simply say, Lord, I have these motivations. This is, I really think that, you know, if I was in ministry, it would be great to be able to be spending all this time with you. Or it's a really great way for me to be able to help people. Or whatever, fill in the blank. Admit it. And then give it. Say, Lord, if this is not the direction you want me to go in, let me know. I can live with it. I recognize that these motivations, though there's nothing wrong with them, if they're not from you, they will not bear the fruit in my life that I want to see for eternal life. They aren't going to bear, because they aren't going to be the seed of spirit, they aren't going to bear spiritual fruit. I don't need to be angry. You don't need to be upset or rebuke yourself or be critical of yourself at all. Just admit this is what you think. Hey, this would be really cool to go into vocational ministry for these reasons. Lord, you want to talk to me about them. And he may say, yes, these are all good reasons. Come on, let's go. We are in process. Now, if you've given him those desires, he may change them, or he may not. Once you've given them to him, they're his. He can do with them as he pleases. And that starts to make you available to be prepared, to be motivated, to be healed, to be trained, to be encouraged. You can't give to him something that you don't recognize as your own. So learn about yourself. Let the Lord reveal yourself to yourself. And as he does that, you'll find, okay, he's very patient. He is not out to, he's not a perfectionist. When he thinks of you, when he considers you, he sees his son. And I don't mean Jesus. I mean you. You are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You are his son. You are his heir, born of him. He does not see you as separate from him. And as far as he is concerned, his job in you is done if you have been re-spirited. It's like we've been crowned king of the kingdom, but we're only 8 years old. And we need to learn how to rule. How to rule and reign. And that's what we're here on this earth to do. How to rule over our circumstances, not other people, but our circumstances, and reign over ourselves, our soul. So we are here for a time and a purpose, but it is not to accomplish things out there. It is for our own good. So, again, thanks for getting in touch with me with your good questions. Keep them coming. I want to address as many as I can publicly, because you got to remember, a lot of the questions that any one of us has, odds are a lot of other people have them as well. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again the same time next week. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. Have a great night.